Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Ask Coach Mac. This is episode number 55 and super excited to be with you today. It's Sunday. I just got back from hiking with the kids. We went on a little day hike and really enjoying the Sunday. Typically, I will do these episodes on Monday, but I need to catch up a little bit and I got a big Monday plan. So as you're jumping in here, guys, leave a question down below. If you are jumping in on the replay, I will post these as podcasts every Monday, and you can always go to Facebook and you can jump in there and leave questions in the comments. I will be going back through those and answering, and if it's a question that I didn't get to on the show, I will make sure to answer it later on down the line as I go. Plenty of ways that you guys can submit questions. As you're jumping in, let me know that you're here, but plenty of ways you can ask questions. You can email me through my website, RonMcKeefer.com. You can email me directly, call, social media, all the different things. But, you know, leave questions. And each week I'll jump on and I'll answer probably, you know, 4 to 5 questions. As you ask questions on the side, I'll try to get to those as well. And like I said, if I don't, I'll do it either in the comments or save it for a later time. So let me know you guys are here. I'm using a different software, so I can't always see through Facebook. So let me know you're there and ask questions as we go, and we'll jump right into this. So a lot of people have been asking me about specifically the Oregon situation. And, you know, I've got mixed feelings on this. You know, I've been in similar situations, and I've also been in situations where I've had to be on the other side. And so, you know, I think first, my answer probably will surprise a lot of people. But I think the first thing, guys, is we've got to know the situation, you know, and honestly, I'm pretty disappointed in the strength and conditioning community for jumping on the bandwagon, the social media bandwagon, and just, you know, hanging people out to dry. I think plenty of us have been in situations where things have gotten out of hand, or coaches have had influence, or whatever it may have been. And we just didn't know what was, you know, what's going on. And so to see so many strength coaches and fitness professionals jump on the people out at Oregon, you know, I was pretty disappointed. And that's a time that we need to rally around each other and at least, you know, let all the facts come out, you know. And so I do know this for a fact. And I went into this in quite a bit of detail. I was just on the Power Athlete podcast with John Welburn and those guys. And so I would recommend you guys watch that episode. I won't go as in deep detail here, but I do know this. One is we don't know all the facts. We haven't heard from any of the coaches that are there. And all of us that have been in coaching, we know that, you know, you have to be quiet. You have to you're not able to come out like you would maybe like to and explain your side of the situation. I know coaches that have been there currently. I know coaches that have been there before. I know all of them are great people. I don't want to ever jump on anybody in that situation. I know that the coaches probably gave them a program to do, you know, prior to them leaving. And so them coming back, there's a responsibility on the athletes to come back prepared and in shape, and knowing that there's 3 athletes that had issues and several that did not, you know, you never know. I also know that athletes typically will over embellish, you know, things, you know, and so I know, you know, I've done workouts where coaches have been, you know, where athletes have come back and, you know, they might have done, you know, 20, 30 up downs because they missed a cone or something. And, you know, if you would have asked them later on in the day what they did for that workout, they don't remember the 8 stations and all the drills and this, that, and the other. They remember doing up downs. So they'll say that they did up downs for an hour and a half. And that sounds like what probably happened out there, where the athletes just said, yeah, we just did push-ups and sit-ups and up-downs and whatever. And, you know, guys, we know that that's not the truth. We know that that's not what happened. And if it did, then yeah, it went too far. You know, and we have an obligation first to do no harm. And I know the coaches there believe that. I've never met a strength coach or a coaching staff that did not care about their athletes. So I find that very hard to believe in this situation as well. But, you know, we have an obligation as coaches to make sure that we put ourselves in situations where we know that there's a level of progression. And, you know, so many times with coaches, and I've been guilty of this, I don't know if this is the case at Oregon, but going into a situation where I wanted to kind of make my mark, you know, send a statement, a message that things are going to be different, accountability, all those types of things. And, you know, I didn't build in a progression or change, you know, and I know, I don't know this to be the case. I know Jimmy really well. I know Irle as well. I don't know if there's a difference in their programming per se, but let's just say that one was more high paced and, you know, not as much resistance training, and one is. As a new coach, you have the obligation to come in and blend the methodologies, because, you know, if it's a complete different philosophy, then yeah, they haven't prepared for that. And, you know, we have an obligation to do that. So the other thing I'll say is that, you know, the diagnosis for rhabdo, I think there's a lot of things that could be done there. I mean, basically, you know, you go into situations and, you know, if you came back, you didn't eat, you didn't sleep, maybe went out partying the night before, you come in and you strength train, there is going to be elevated levels of creatine kinase, you know, and so that's with everybody. And doctors, in my experience, have been quick to make a jump conclusion on things because of elevated levels of creatine kinase. And that doesn't mean that you have rhabdo. You know, that's a specific diagnosis, you know, and so sometimes they'll come into a situation and they'll say, you had elevated levels of creatine kinase and you may have rhabdo. We're going to continue to do tests, and families take that as rhabdo, or that trigger word, and will come out and say, you know, there's rhabdo, you know. And so, again, going back to what we know that doctors aren't going to come out and talk about a diagnosis. We know that the organization can't do that. And so, again, we need to know the details before we jump on people, you know. So, I was just very, very disappointed. Gus, I agree with you. Phil, I saw you earlier. Appreciate you guys. And I know that we all are in this thing together. We need to rally around that. The last thing I'll say, you know, before I get into some of the questions I got, was that we have an obligation to protect ourselves against ourselves, you know. And so when you do go in a new situation and it is an emotionally charged situation where maybe they didn't have the success that they have, so the athletes want to prove themselves, you know, coaches want to come in and send their message and send a statement and things are different. You know, when you go in, if you program in a bunch of additional work, well, we've all been around the offensive line coach, the defensive line coach, the head coach, whoever, that is going to, you know, do additional. If you say 4 gasses, they're going to run 8 gasses. If you say 50 up downs, they're going to do 5,000 up downs. You know, we've been around that. So we have to kind of pre-program, knowing that coaches and even ourselves sometimes will take that to another level. And so knowing that going in and making sure that you set up your program in a way that's going to account for that, I think is another thing that we have an obligation to do. So two specific questions that I got. I got a bunch of them, but two specific questions I got about it. Denny asked, you know, how do you gauge how hard to push your athletes? You know, and in that situation, again, I think experience is one. You know, having been there and done it a couple different places, I think you need to have experience. And if you don't have experience, maybe this is your first opportunity, you need to rely and talk to people that have, you know, and so knowing the amount of work that can be done in an hour or 2 hours, or what an athlete can and can't handle, there's a certain amount of experience that goes along with that. Don't plan in the toughness, you know, in high charge situations, like I talked about. I think that again, you have to make sure, also knowing the athletes you're working with, absolutely the mentality, mentally and physically, Gus, I'd agree with you 100% on that. But you need to, again, there needs to be some evaluation. You need to have an understanding of what you have coming back and why and how, and then build in a natural progression to occur. Bernie asks, where do you draw the line between doing what you know is right and what your head coach may want? Have you ever been placed in a situation where the expectations of the head coach contradicted what the players needed, or how did you handle that? And again, I've been in lots of situations, and I think, a lot of people that are on here, Phil, Gus, however many people that are watching right now, we've all been in those situations, and so my experience is, if you come across a situation where you just fundamentally disagree, you need to pull, I'll tell you what, let's take back a step. The very first thing you need to do is you need to have a solid plan. I think when people go into situations and they don't know what they're going to do and they haven't communicated what they're going to do, that's an opportunity or a recipe for disaster. And so going into it on the front end, getting everybody to agree on the front end, then that gives you an opportunity that in the moment you can pull people aside and you can talk about, this is not what we had planned to do. And sometimes, some cases, you're going to have to pull the head coach aside and say that this is something that you disagree with or something that you don't think is the right thing to do. And honestly, that's what you're being paid to do. You're being paid to be a professional and give your opinion. It doesn't always mean that they're going to listen to it. But, building strong relationships with your coaching staff, I couldn't agree with you more. But you got to have that level of trust with your people, trust with your athletes, trust with your coaching staff. And then you can always come back and say, hey, coach, we'll revisit that after the fact in the staff meeting. And again, have that opportunity, to make some changes. So I really think that, again, this is a high level of volatility in the profession right now. Again, I think hopefully, us as coaches, we can sit back and we can rally around one another. If for nothing else, let's be promoting on social media and things like that, that we need to get all the facts before we go and we have some sort of witch hunt. Chris asks, what is the right way to go after a job at your school if your boss leaves? I've been in this situation. When I was at South Florida, we had the head strength coach left. I wanted the job. And, so how did I kind of prepare for that? There's a right way and a wrong way, right? You never want to backstab people. You never want to go about it in a way that you're campaigning for a job before it happens. But at the same time, you need to be developing a skill set that you're ready. And you also want to put yourself in a position where you're viewed as if you can become that person. I think one of the mistakes that a lot of assistant coaches make is that they will go in and they want to try to get on a first name basis with the players or kind of be buddy buddy. And it's this different dynamic. Whereas if you go in and I very much respect and appreciate the word coach, and that relationship. And, when I first came in, I was 21 years old, kid, some of them were even older than me, in some regards. And, but right away I was introducing myself as Coach Mack, instead of saying, hey, my name's Ronnie, and having people call me that. And there's a big, whenever you try to go make that shift and people have been calling you by your first name the whole time, and then all of a sudden you expect them to call you coach or have that level of respect or distance, I sometimes think that's a mistake. But the very first thing you got to do is you got to be prepared. You got to have a plan. You got to, the whole time you should have been keeping track of everything that's being put out, the schedule, the system, all those types of things, and then know what you would do differently, and be able to present that in some very organized way, whether it's a manual, whether or not it's a PowerPoint, something along those lines. You need to be able to put that information in front of the coaching staff. And one of the common things is going to be, what would you do differently? And so again, if you go in there and you bash the guy you've been working for, well, that doesn't give me a whole lot of trust in you, rather than just put it in a simple way of, this is maybe what I would do differently. Then you got to rally the troops. I mean, when the coach does leave, when your boss does leave, then I think you need to, you need to put it out there to your athletes. Hey, look, if you want things to continue to go with me, coaches are going to, they have a lot of things going on, especially in those times of transition. A lot of times they're looking for other coaches as well for on their staff and people transitioning and things along those lines. having somebody that the players respect and like is a major factor. Now, all of a sudden, you know, as long as you've done your job on the front end of showing your professionalism, your worth, and your knowledge and your content, then knowing and liking you is something that is going to be another obstacle that coaches don't want to deal with. If they don't like you, they hate you. You know, they don't want to deal with that. So having athletes and administrators and coaches come to your, rallying for support for you, I think it's a big step. And lastly, I think you got to, you know, this is something that I think a lot of people miss too, is you got to let people know that you want the job. You know, sometimes people just simply think that because, you know, the job's open and you're there and because you're doing a good job, they think that it's just assumed that you're going to get it. Reality is that you need to let people know that you want the job. I thought that was an important step in my process where, you know, I went after things and let people know that, you know, the job is mine. I'm going after it full guns blazing. And at the end of the day, you may end up losing me if we don't promote me. Because obviously then if I'm not your guy, then at the end of the day, maybe I need to move on and find some different opportunities, you know? And so sometimes coaches that are on the fence about the grass is greener, looking out, you know, maybe for some other strength coaches, you know, the realization that they may lose you as well. I mean, you don't have to come out and say it that way, but you also want to say that you want the job and doing that. You're saying that, where people may, not want to lose you and you get the opportunity that way. At the end of the day, however you can get the opportunity, fantastic. But you need to make the most of it once you got it. Guys, if you're jumping in, make sure you leave some questions. I just got a couple left and then I'm going to jump off unless there's some questions to answer. But Mark was a baseball strength coach. He asked how to get back into football or another sport once being labeled a coach in another sport. So he's a baseball strength coach, wants to get back to working with football, and was concerned, you know, that he's been labeled as a baseball strength coach, you know. And so the main thing here, I think, Mark, is that you need to never, you know, whenever you have a passion or desire to be with a specific sport, you need to, you know, the best thing you can do is stay with that sport throughout. I understand that you have to make money and you have to survive in this business and all those types of things, but you want to make strategic moves, you know. And so I wanted to be pro football. It was what I wanted to do. I didn't get any opportunities. I wasn't getting any GA jobs or real opportunities in football. And so my first experience was with pro baseball. The reasoning was because I figured if I was working with professional athletes in another sport, then I can show, you know, that I could work with professional athletes in the sport that I wanted. And, you know, I had to turn down, opportunities to continue with that sport. I turned down a $60,000, AAA job in pro baseball to go do an unpaid internship in pro football. And again, strategic moves that helped catapult me there. I think sometimes it's more about what you're going to sacrifice, what you're willing to sacrifice, than it is what you're willing to do to go with a certain sport and to really exceed and excel in a certain area. But you never want to get out completely. You want to continue to network with football strength coaches. So if you're in a situation now, I think reaching out, networking, and finding ways to make sure you create lots of connections there so that people can hire you along the way. I think you want to read, you want to speak, and you want to write on topics that are not just that sport that you're working with specific. So if you're a baseball strength coach and you're just speaking on baseball all the time, that's going to probably not get you very far. But if all of a sudden you're doing, at a national conference, you're talking about kettlebell training or speed training or nutrition or something along those lines, then you might bring a skill set to a staff, outside of something that they maybe already have that you can market yourself with. In the off season, I think you need to do site visits. You need to, you know, especially with baseball, you have about a 3 to 4 month window there where, you got some time and you're traveling quite a bit with baseball. And so getting out and doing site visits and getting to know people, that way, I think is important. And lastly, I think, you know, making sure your resume, just doesn't scream baseball. Sometimes you want to highlight as strong as you possibly can because it's a power, you know, it's a good resume to be with pro baseball or pro hockey or whatever it may be. But if your resume is only screaming that and you want to be a different sport, then, you know, there's just too many people that are doing it now at a high level that you're going to compete with. So even if you're a pro baseball, but, you know, you got somebody that was a GA at Ohio State football, you know, it's going to carry a lot of weight to a college football strength coach or a college football coach, you know. And so making sure your resume doesn't scream that, I think, is important. All right, guys, in just a few minutes here, I wanted to answer some of the questions that came in. John, any advice for college students that want to go into strength and conditioning? John, I think the big thing is the sooner you know what you want to do, the better. I think if you you go out, you network with the coaches that are on your campus, I think you want to start there. I think you want to let as many people know that that's the direction you want to go. I think the number one thing that I did naturally that I think that I recommend a lot of my interns do is to let everybody know and then see who has a connection, you know, because this field is so small that there's, you know, you're 5 degrees of separation from everybody, you know. And so I want to do this, and do you have a connection in strength and conditioning? So if you're working, I think I saw you played football somewhere, John, you know, ask all your coaches, who's the strength coach that they knew, who was their strength coach in college, and maybe, you know, having them start connecting you that way first. Robert, one of these days, Robert, I'm going to speak at your clinic, man. I saw all the pictures, and you do a great job, brother. It looks awesome as usual. But your question, the focus of the high school athlete is a challenge for me. How can I keep them a bit more focused in between their sets? Less BS, more work, suggestions. Love you, coach. Yeah, Robert, I love you too, man. I think what I try to do, and this is something that, you know, strength coaches typically – you know, criticize me for is, you know, they kind of call it CrossFit. They call it, Metcons or high intensity training or whatever they want to call it. But the, you know, typically whenever you get outside of the rack, you lose your athletes. If you let them rest too long, they're going to start dancing around. If you let them go to the water fountain, they're going to dance around. So things that I do, put them in groups of four. Within the group of four, there's two sets of partners. You're always doing something. You're either lifting or you're spotting or you're doing a core or a metabolic or some sort of corrective. So you're always doing something. I put water bottles at the racks so that I'm not going off and chasing them around. And basically I program it as much stuff at the rack as possible. And so I think that that's the best way to keep them all together, keep them consistently working, just making sure that your rest is more of an active rest than it is, you know, something where it's causing additional fatigue. Desmond Ryan, appreciate coming on. How many strength and conditioning coaches would you recommend for a professional sports team with 40 players? Well, again, I like to have one strength coach, basically for every four athletes. Now, I know that that's hard to do and impossible, and I do it with interns. What I typically do then is I put, you know, so if I have half the team, I'll put a strength coach with every group of four, and then I'll have a full-time strength coach with a group of 12. So basically for a group of 40, I would say 3 to 4 strength coaches would be what I would recommend. So guys, I think that's about it. Everybody, I appreciate you jumping on here. Each week we'll do this, and I'll continue to answer as many questions as I possibly can. Jump in. If you're just catching us on the replay, ask questions down below, and I'll try to jump on that. But appreciate you guys that jumped in. Robert, Gus, Desmond, John, and Phil, and on and on and on there. Appreciate you guys jumping in and contributing to the show. If you haven't checked out our playsummits.com, make sure you check that out. There's going to be a summit somewhere near you. We're doing 3 in the U.S., 3 internationally. So check those out. I'd like to thank our sponsor, InTech, for helping bring these to you each and every week. Like the Facebook page. As again, I'm trying to migrate everything over from my personal page to a fan page or a coach page just because reached the max there. Continue to send questions in each week, and I end the show every week with a quote, and this is from an unknown author. It says, "There will be times in your life when you have to choose between being loved and being respected. Always pick being respected. That love without respect was always fleeting, but that respect could grow into real lasting love. Fully believe that. So thanks, guys. Appreciate you. We'll see you next week. Take care.